Let's play a game to start today. I didn't know Luke was going to play a game too, so we got two games in one day, all right? It's just a short one, this or that. Mountains or beach? Let me see the beach people first. Beach, if you got to get away, all right, put them down. Mountain people. Mountain people? Would you consider yourself a mountain person? Okay, so if you want to get away from it all, let me talk to you mountain people. I may have found the place for you. It is called the Thoroughfare Region. It's all the way out in Yellowstone National Park. It's in the southeastern corner of the park, and it's in the state of Wyoming. It is, by definition, the most remote place in the lower contiguous 48 states. So, like, nothing's out there. You know, it's awesome. I got a picture of the Thoroughfare Ranger Station. Here it is. Now, if you want to get there, use all the firewood and all that stuff. You know, you see the solar panel. I'm pretty sure that's the only thing that's giving it power out there, possibly. If you want to get there, it's quite a hike. You start on the trailhead, and you gotta go through a thick forest and through meadows and cross rivers. Some people even use horseback and stuff to do it. And bottom line, that station is 32 and a half miles away from the nearest road, making it the most remote building in the lower contiguous 48 states. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I just found another bucket list hike for me, and I'm going to try to do that before I die, all right? That is the most remote place in the 48 states, but it is not the loneliest place, because you and I both know inside of us, inside of people you know, there is an isolation and a loneliness far too common nowadays. In fact, Mother Teresa pointed it out this way, that there are a lot of people in the world dying for a piece of bread, but even more who are dying for a little love. And then she went on to say this, the poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. It's a poverty of loneliness, a poverty of spirituality. Similarly, a surveyor named George Gallup 30 plus years ago in 1989 surveyed, and he actually came to this conclusion, Americans are actually the loneliest people on earth. 1989. And so what was bad has in a lot of ways gotten worse, because here we are, 2022, post-pandemic, we're used to isolation, all this sort of stuff. Now, here are the stats for us Americans. So it's kind of, we're going to start on a downer today, all right? Here's the stats. Half of us report to sometimes or always feeling alone. Only half of us have a positive interaction with a human being every single day in person. Gen Z actually self-reports on being the loneliest, and they would self-report saying, we are in worse health than the older generations. Yay, glad we came to church today, right? That's not what God intended, is it? That's not what God intended. I mean, the first pages of the scripture, he says, it's not good for mankind to be alone. And you read page after page after page, he's put people to be with us. But here we are, we're alone and isolated, so much so where a few years back, the University of Southern California invented a new job. It was called the Director of Belonging. Because what they found was so many people were going to school and then dropping out because they were lonely. So they started a job to make people feel like they belong. Not the way God intended it, though. He created us for community. That was his plan A. And so here we are, week two of this series, You Are Here. We're looking at kind of where we are in life and where we want to go. You imagine those maps at the theme park or the mall where it kind of shows you where you are, and then you know, oh, I want to be over there, so I know how to get there. That's what we're doing for three straight weeks. Kind of just a check-in. Where are we? And where do we want to go? Now, last week, Adam kicked off this series in a great way and reminded us that Jesus is, of course, our first priority, that we have been created to pursue Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, the person, not theology about Jesus, although that's good, not information about Jesus, although that's good, the relationship with Jesus. But here's the truth we are convicted with today, that Jesus is not actually the only relationship we need. We need each other. So check in question. You are here. Check in question. Are you, am I, in the right circles? And that's key, the right circles, because all of us in some way are in a circle, but are they the right ones? Are they transformational community? Are they pushing us towards the people that God intended us to be, to get out of life what he created and intended for us to get out of life? Now, it's not surprising that God would speak to this, right? The very first pages of the Bible, he said, it's not good for you to be alone. So story after story after story we could go to, but we're going to land in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, if you've got a Bible, kind of towards the middle of it there, right after Psalms and Proverbs. If you don't have one, it's on the screen. But the writer of Ecclesiastes is a guy named Solomon. He was the wisest person to ever live, the son of David, king of Israel. He wrote the book of Proverbs, a lot of them as well. And he's just exploring in Ecclesiastes all these questions about life, these deep questions that we need to have answers to. We got to wrestle with these. And in chapter 4, one of the questions he deals with is companionship, or people that need to be with you in your life. So starting in verse 7, I'm going to read. This is his exploration of community. Here he writes, I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who was all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? And then he writes, it's also meaningless and depressing. You've seen them, right? You've seen the people that work so much or have so much focus in one area of their life that their family is left out, that they don't have any significant relationship. And we have to be better than that as Christians. So Solomon doesn't just wrestle with the question. He kind of gives an answer to it. Here's his answer. Don't isolate yourself. He says this. Look, two are better than one. Let's read this together. Why? For they can help each other succeed. Let's do that again. That was weak. Two are better than one. For why? For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone, man, they're in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Two are better than one. This comes back to something I had to practice this several times this week to make sure I was pronouncing it correctly. It's a fancy word. It's the synergistic principle, all right? Synergy, that's a fancy word, right? So synergistic principle, here's what it means. Two are better than the, like two together are better than the sum of both of them, if that makes sense. Here's what it is. People discovered that in a horse pulling contest in Canada, they were horses trying to pull weight, and they had this competition, and the first place horse pulled about 9,000 pounds. Like, that's a lot, right? Second place horse, almost that much, not too far behind it. And so they had this idea, what would happen if we yoked them together and let them pull together? And so it must have been a group of guys because they started wagering bets on it. They're like, I don't know, how much do you think it can do? How much do you think it'll do? And so they put them together, strapped them together. After they placed all their bets, two horses together pulled 30,000 pounds. So the question is, since when does 9 plus 9 equal 30? Since always. Because two are better than one. It's synergy. It's the synergistic principle that together you're going to do more. Remember Ecclesiastes 4? You can help each other succeed. It's been said this way. If you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together. So Solomon explores in chapter 4 here just really what community does. And I want to walk back through this text just kind of quickly, because there's kind of three levels of what community can do in your life. First, community can pick you up when you fall. You ever been there, like literally falling and you can't get up, like Steve Urkel, right? Didn't he say that? I fell one time, a lot actually, but one time that I was thinking of this week was actually right after I'd moved to Georgia, and there was a group of generous people, and they knew I liked to play soccer, and so they said, Josh, you need to go play indoor soccer at Creekside. And so I was like, awesome. This is great. I'm single. I don't have anything else to do. So I'm going to go play in the adult men's league at Creekside. I'm going to show these old guys who's boss, you know? And so that's what happened. Not really. For 1 week. And then the second week, I think it was, I got tripped from behind and I flipped up in the air and I landed. The first thing that hit the ground was this shoulder right here. And I was in excruciating pain. I didn't know what had happened. And then I stood up and this arm was like longer than the other arm, you know? It's like, oh, I know what's wrong now. So my teammate took me to the hospital. And then, so he literally picked me up. But then I had just moved, like away from my family. They were in Missouri. I was single, not married, no family, nothing like that. So I called none other than your senior minister, Adam Turner. And Adam shows up in his green Kia. I forgot what year it was, but he shows up, that thing rattling along, you know, and he's there sitting with me in the hospital until my shoulder slid back into place. It had been out for a long time. And he got the pleasure of hearing it slide back into place. I believe he described it as a... That was his words, not mine. But anyway, he's like, it was so gross. Here's the point. You ever been there where, like, you tripped and you need someone to help you? You ever been alone without anybody to help you? Community can help you be picked up when you fall. But it goes on. Here's the next level. Community, like, shields you from the elements, all right? So life is going to throw some things at you, but community can help you stand strong against the elements, can shield you against some of those natural things. And so, once again, I thought about my own life. What has my community done for me? And I thought last year, my dad and I were actually on a hike, not in the thoroughfare region, but out in Arizona. And we were hiking the Superstition Mountain Ranges. This is where Geronimo died, apparently. But he didn't have the GPS map that we did. So if you look closely, we're wearing the same backpack. Two separate times this picture was taken. Now, any guesses as to what was in that backpack? Water. Because on that 12-mile hike, we had access to zero water. So you can't even take a water purifier or anything like that. It's like, if you don't want to die from dehydration, you pack it on your back. Now, if you don't know, liquid kind of weighs a lot. So neither one of us wanted to carry it the whole time, so we switched off. So very literally, we shielded each other from the elements of heat and water. Now, in this text, it says if two lie down together, they can keep each other warm. Now, don't make that weird. All the author is saying is Palestinian winters are cold. It's in the desert, too. So you're together. You help each other survive. And I mean, how many of us, right, have been in life where the elements are just kind of coming at you? Like maybe literally you had a storm in your yard and you had to call a friend with a chainsaw to help cut that tree up. Or your lawnmower broke and you need somebody to help you mow that lawn. Or you had a death in the family and you don't have time to cook. And so your community brings you a meal. Pity the person who doesn't have that. It goes further though. Not only can people help us up when we fall, shield us from the elements. When you are attacked from the enemy, listen, it says two people can stand back to back and conquer. Community helps you, fights against the enemy for you. Sometimes people can be divisive or disruptive, and you need the community of people that is encouraging you to lift you up. But here's what I know, church, that behind every person, perhaps, they're not really the enemy. Here's what I know the scripture says, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil forces in the spiritual realm. And so we have this enemy called Satan who is sneaking around, prowling around, looking to devour you and take you out. And I know his tactic is to isolate you so you can be taken out more easily. But the community that we have in our life will help us fight against the enemy. Now, once again, I started to think about my life. When was I surrounded by community to help me fight against an enemy? Now, I went back to high school soccer. Because for me, it's like, hey, I was literally in a huddle. We put our hands in. We're starting to like jump up and down. And we're getting louder and louder and louder. We're chanting pregame. And then we break the huddle. We run onto the field. And we're ready to do battle with our brothers, right? You know, those of you who have played sports kind of know that feeling, or you watch the documentary or the show Band of Brothers, you kind of know, you're like, psyched up, you're, yeah, let's go, man, let's go. And you understand what it's like to have people around you fighting with you, not with you, but for you, with, like, against your enemy. And we need that. And so for the rest of the time today, like, I want to explore, how do we get that? Because that's God's plan for us all, that we would have transformational community around us. God's plan was never that we would be isolated, never that we would be alone, but always that we would be in circles of people that are pushing us to be the best versions of ourselves that we can be, and to follow Jesus better. So three keys I want to give us today for, here's the key word, transformational community. Transformational. It's a big word. Because many of you are in circles, but they're not transforming you. You're just kind of drifting along. Three keys to transformational community. Here is the first step. If you want to get there, it's got to be on purpose. You got to say, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get there. It's going to be a decision you make on purpose. You think about life. Nothing good really happens on accident. You don't really, like, get in shape by watching the workout DVD, you know? You don't graduate with high honors by not doing your homework. You don't have a healthy marriage by never talking. Like, you don't just accidentally show up to success. You on purpose put yourself in the circles that you need to be in. Now, here's a verse that kind of backs that up. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says it this way. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Here's the question. How much time do you have? Sort of a trick question. All of us have the same. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so you hear some people going, Josh, I just don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. Now, let me gently push back and say, time is this great equalizer. No person is time rich or time poorer than anyone else. We all have the same. So at some level, we have to choose on purpose, where are we going to put ourselves with the time that we have? What circles are we going to put ourselves in? If you're pushing back and saying, I don't know that I have time to circle up and get in this community, or maybe it's just weird or something like that, let me push back on you again and say, I don't think you have time not to. You don't have time not to put yourself in that community. Why? Because your life literally depends on it. If you come to Next Steps, the Find My Group session that we do in Next Steps, you'll hear us reference a study. 7,000 people over the course of 9 years was in this study. And what they found was that those who had poor health, poor health habits, like bad eating or obesity or smoking or drinking, but had good community around them, lived significantly longer lives than those who were isolated. So a preacher read this report and said, you know what that means? It's better to eat a Twinkie with a group of friends than to eat broccoli alone. Now, I like beef jerky more than Twinkies. Zachary, are you going to go to your small group tonight? Awesome. You want some beef jerky? There you go, dude. Eat the beef jerky in a group of in a group of community, and look, you're not going to suffer for it, okay? Because you have community around you. We need that, and like literally, our health depends on it. Let me give you some stats to this. All right, Brené Brown wrote a book called The Atlas of the Heart, and in it, chapter 9, she put together some. Here's some stats. Like, if you want to die sooner, do these things, all right? But surprisingly, air pollution, 5% increase. I thought it would have been more, but, you know, obesity, 20% increase, all right? Heavy drinking, 30% increase. Look at the last one. Loneliness, isolation, 45% increase. Increasing your risk of dying early. Let that sink in for just a little bit. Remember, it's not just any community, it's the right kind of transformational circle that we need to be in. Now, here's the key. When I know this is true for my life, that when I have a tough decision to make, what is the hardest step to take? If you have several steps to get there, to get that result. What's the hardest step to take? Oh man, it's the first one, isn't it? So men, let me speak to you for a little bit. If you're not in a circle, the hardest step for you right now might be just checking a box on a connection card. It might be texting one of your friends that you know here that's in a circle. It might be coming up here to me after the service is over and talking right here and saying, I need some community. Or it might be stopping at the guest services kiosk and talking to that team and saying, hey, how can I get connected? And I promise, even though it might be the most difficult step, it's going to be the most important step to get you in community. Because men, you want to lead your family well. You want to lead your employees well. You want to coach your team well. You need community to pick you up when you fall, to shield you against life's elements, and to fight against the spiritual enemies in your life. So take that step today. Everybody has a connection card in your bulletin or a welcome home card in the seat back in front of you. Take that paper and, man, just make a small check on it and let that be your declaration to God. Here's my first step. Place it in a bucket on the way out, and we'll walk with you this week. Once you get into that circle, here's step number two. You got to get into that circle on purpose, but then you got to spend time in that circle because transformation is made over time. Does not happen overnight. You're not going to magically be a different person tomorrow because you go to one small group, but stick it out because it will happen. The author of Hebrews in the Bible puts it this way, that we should not neglect our meeting together. We should stick it out. We should stay in that group and show up on a weekly basis because transformation is going to happen. Now, what's the hurdle to sticking something out in our culture? I think it's because, one of them at least, it's because I feel rushed sometimes. Do you feel rushed? Do you think our culture just creates this expectation in us that things should happen right away? You know, like, moment of confession, okay, you're in church, you cannot lie. Have you ever been frustrated because Amazon didn't get to you quickly enough? Y'all, it's 2 days. It's 2-day delivery. You're sleeping for a third of that time, hopefully anyway. But I've been there. You ever been in a fast food drive-through line? And you're like, man, what is taking so long? What else do you want them to do to that food to get it fixed any faster, right? It's like, it's already not real food, but it's real fast, you know? So like, what do we want them to do, you know? But here it is. Like, our culture just kind of preaches this message to us all the time that things should happen quickly. And life just doesn't work that way. For transformation to happen, it's a days, weeks, months, years for that to happen. It's more of a crock pot than a microwave. And I think of Jesus, you know, he gathered men around him, 12 disciples, and you kind of think outside the box a little bit with what they did in their 3 years together before he died. We see some of it in the scriptures, but we can have a healthy kind of creative imagination for what else they might have done together. Like, we know Jesus taught them. We know he answered their questions. We know they traveled together, but Jesus probably, like, they probably camped out. You know, we know they ate together, but they probably ate a lot more together than we see in the scriptures. They probably joked together. They probably went to families' houses. They probably went on weekend retreats. They just spent time together, lots of time together. And so why should we expect our transformation would work any different than how Jesus transformed his disciples, right? It always happens over time. So here's the healthy reminder. When you get in the right circle, stick it out over time. It might take one or two or three groups or serve teams to find the right one, and that's okay. You can try one, and if it doesn't work, try another one. And if that doesn't work, try another one. Now, if you start getting to 4, 5, 6 groups and you always have a problem, you might need to buy a mirror. But no, I joke. But find the right one, and when you find the right one, like, there's no pressure that it has to work right away. When you find the right one, man, stick it out and stay there and let transformation happen. It happens over time. Now, step 3, It always happens. This is going to sound obvious, but it always happens with one another. Transformation in community always happens with one another. Now, it sounds obvious, but remember, the culture we live in, it doesn't make that as obvious as it used to. Because why? We can go to church online and kind of just camp out there forever. Now, online, I'm super glad you're with us today. And that's awesome. But where the magic happens is when life on life happens with each other. There are 59 times in the New Testament that we are commanded to do something with one another, like show hospitality to one another, to greet one another, to serve one another, to forgive one another or encourage one another. And many of them require physical proximity. And so here's a truth that I know, that most people, before they drift from their faith, they drift from people of faith. You drift from people of faith before you ever drift from your faith. So if you're out here today saying, yeah, Josh, I still believe in God, I'm just not going to my group, watch out. People drift from people of faith before they drift from their faith. And so I love how Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says it, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Gotta be with each other. It's life on life. It's not just the content that we receive that sharpens us. Because you're sitting right here in a row. You're watching online, consuming content that hopefully is good and encouraging and helpful for you from the scriptures that's teaching you something. But here's the deal. Like, newsflash, all right? Content alone doesn't transform you. And here's how I know that. We have more content in the world than we've ever had. You can watch YouTube to figure out anything. I do it all the time. But it doesn't transform my life. Here's how I know that content alone can't transform you. If you could be transformed by simply consuming content, all of us would be millionaires with abs of steel. But we're not, okay? We're not. Here's what that content, what you have to do with that content. When you're in a row, when you're watching online, when you're listening to podcasts, reading a book, where the transformation happens is when you take that content into your circle and you sharpen one another inside that circle. You ask each other questions like, hey, what did the Holy Spirit teach you today or on Sunday as we sang and worshiped together? And then here's another one. What are you going to do about it? Most Christians end up getting to this place where they are educated past the point of obedience. And here's how you fix that. You get in a circle, you do life with one another, and you sharpen one another. And guys, I just don't know that your drinking buddies are sharpening you. I just don't know if the people you debate with on social media about politics or whatever the issue is, I don't know that that's sharpening you. I don't know that the online gaming community is sharpening you. And so we got to do life with each other in a circle to sharpen each other. We got to get in that group on purpose. We spend time in that group. And we're like physically in proximity with each other. Here's the truth I know. The bottom line for community, y'all, fill this blank in. Man, you'll never be richer. Your life will never be richer than your relationships. I know that. Your life will never be richer than your relationships. So here's a challenge for everybody here today or watching online. Two words. It's very simple. Reach out. Reach out. Reach out for a circle. If you're not in a circle, We referenced this earlier. There's a connection card everybody has inside of the bulletin. If you don't have it, there's a welcome home card in front of you. Maybe you're with a friend, or maybe you know somebody across the room. You just ask them, hey, what circle are you in? I want to serve here. That's a great way to get in a circle and get connected to people as well. All right? Reach out. I'm going to put a website on the screen too. If you can remember this or write it down, corinth.cc/connect. You can visit there and fill out a form, and you can be put into a system of starting some conversations on how do I get in a circle of connections, because your life literally depends on it. We have to get in circles. So reach out. Here's like a second challenge. If you're already in a circle, you think about what empty chairs are in that circle and who needs to fill those empty chairs. So you reach out in a different way to fill those circles, okay? I got a text message this week. And this person texted me kind of out of the blue. They didn't know that I was even preaching this week, and they certainly didn't know what the topic of the sermon was going to be. But when I read it, I was blown away because I thought, it's God working. It's kind of providential, the timing. It was absolutely incredible. And so we texted back, and I just said, man, I don't want to do anything without permission. But could I share that? And they said, man, absolutely, praise be to God. So I want to read you that short text message that I received earlier this week. I said, hey, Josh, good morning. I've been struggling with anxiety and depression and lies that I believed. Pride made me feel ashamed to tell anyone, and I started avoiding people. But I had some godly counsel that told me, you are only as sick as your secrets. So God gave me the confidence to tell others that I trust, because hiding it was exhausting. I love this. I'm going back to my small group, and I'm excited to see what God is going to do. That's good, right? Man, praise God for that. And so I want to encourage you, hear the counsel from that text message. You're only as sick as your secrets. You'll never be richer than your relationships. And so get in a circle if you're not in one. Bottom line, you'll never be richer than your relationships. Reach out and find the community that God has for you to transform your life. Let's pray. Father, we say thank you for the community that you have given us. I know my life through all the years has always been richer because, or when I am in the circles that I am in, and I know for me, God, that the worst mistakes I've ever made are because I isolated myself. And so I want to pray that today we hear the encouragement and the challenge, not the guilt trip, the encouragement and the challenge to get in a circle and experience the life that you have for us. God, we're thankful that not only did you give us yourself, but you gave us a community to pursue you together with. And so today we're thankful for our circles and pray a blessing over us as we reach out to get in the circles that we need to be in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.